Welcome, book friends, to Let's Get Literary, the literary podcast with me, Jen Atwell,
Sam Vega,
and Courtney Berry,
where we discuss some magically meaningful or maybe terrible books each month. Join us for a special chat.
Welcome back, listeners.
How could we not laugh after that?
I thought she was going to be like...
Courtney Berry.
Welcome back.
Jennifer Atwell.
And Sam Vega.
We are so excited to bring you guys a new episode of our beautiful podcast. We have today's episode. We're going to talk about our favorite books and what they mean to us and why they are meaningful to us. Anybody want to start?
Y'all, this is the hardest assignment to choose just a small section of books. That's all I'm going to say.
I got it down to two.
That was difficult, too.
Because mostly this morning when I was leaving, I couldn't carry as many books as I wanted to. Otherwise, it would have been definitely three, but I chose two. So I will go first.
Go for it.
My favorite books are Killers of the Flower Moon by David Gran and Interior Chinatown by Charles Yu. First, I'm going to discuss the book that I recommend to everybody. It's Killers of the Flower Moon. This was one of our Cultural Heritage Month books for Native American History Month a few years ago. This was the book that made me aware that different things happened in history. It was the first book that I realized I loved historical nonfiction, historical fiction, and I generally just fell back in love with reading. Who knew one book could do all of that magic? But it's the book that I recommend to everyone. Anyone who likes historical fiction, anyone who needs a recommendation, whether they like historical fiction or not, this is what I should talk about. And this is about the Osage Native Americans and the birth of the FBI and how a certain family, Molly Burkhart's family, is murdered, poisoned, shot, members of their tribe die under suspicious circumstances, and how the FBI came to be. This holds such a special place in my heart, and I should reread it because as I was preparing for today, I realized I don't remember a lot. But it was the book that started it all for me, that made me want to learn more about how history went down in the world. My other favorite book is Interior Chinatown, which I read within the past year. Within the past couple of years, I have been so aware of how much I love reading about Asian humans' experiences in the world. That's not something that I didn't grow up being super familiar with reading things about people like me. There were books that my parents gave me and experiences that I had as a kid, but nothing like reading a book about being Asian in the world. And those are also some of my favorite books. This book is in play format. Maybe there's a fancier term for this. But it's all about Asian stereotypes and existing in America with Asian stereotypes. One of my favorite parts of this book is I'm going to read it. Says in the middle of a play section where a few of the characters are discussing kind of who they are. I'm not a person, I'm a category. Giving me the lead doesn't make me any more of a person. If anything less, it locks me in. Do you know where I started? Do you know what it took? You can't come in here 5 minutes ago talking about how hard you have it if you don't like it here. So this entire book is talking about existing in life, in film, in plays, as the stereotypical Asian. You're always the person who knows kung fu. you're also always the person trying to bring respect and honor to their family. It's always within this circle of categories that Asians are always portrayed. And I just thought it was so incredibly interesting. Willis Wu doesn't perceive himself as the protagonist in his own life. He's merely a generic Asian man. And he just wants to be, I believe he calls himself, Kung Fu Guy. And it was just, it was great. I could put it down, pick it up a few weeks later, a few days later, and still know what was happening. I feel like I talked a lot.
No?
That was it for me, though. Those are two that I would recommend, two favorites for me. Both with a little bit of history about being a person of color in the world. Both, whether intentionally or unintentionally, educating me about the way things were, the way things are. That's it. Anyone else want to talk about their favorite books?
Yeah, I'll go. So one of my favorite books was is Born a Crime by Trevor Noah, comedian. He has his own TV show, The Daily Show. So it's basically a memoir of like his life and how his life played out, and how in South Africa, being born from a black mother and a white man, his mother could face up to 5 years in prison. That was during the apartheid, obviously. So he talks about his life there and how he was just like a super rambunctious kid, loved, you know, being with his friends, didn't really understand and know how to navigate the realms of the apartheid and what it meant to him. And he really didn't understand like why his mom and his dad weren't together, because they basically had an agreement, and the agreement was, his mother's agreement with his father was, I want to have a baby with you so our kid and our child be considered lighter skin. And I feel as if, obviously, within the black community, there's colorism and the issues behind colorism and what I struggled with. And I kind of relate that to me. And that's why it's so meaningful to me. It's because as a lighter skinned black woman, you know, the stereotype of what beauty means and what it looks like, right? Like the standard of what American beauty, or even like the world, the society's view on beauty, is typically not a black woman. And it doesn't look like that. But to kind of just like embrace who you are and go through the challenges of what that looks like. So, I mean, he did a really good job of describing, you know, and not only that, of describing his life, but he's hilarious. And I love, love, love to watch his show and love to watch his little TikToks and any kind of videos that he has, because he's not only, I mean, he gets it. Mm-hmm. He understands it and he makes fun of it, but he gets it. Mm-hmm.
What's the name of his book?
Born a Crime. So he's basically born a crime. Mm. Mm-hmm. The second book, and I kind of like struggle going back and forth, and you're probably like, how can you struggle with, I mean, obviously I love The Hate U Give, great, great book, but I really liked We're Going to Need More Wine by Gabrielle Union.
That was such a good book.
And I'm not a fictional person. Like nonfiction is my thing, is my jam. So I really enjoyed it. Just a collection of her essays, you know, by her, just talking about how she grew up in Nebraska as a black girl, young black girl.
Nebraska.
What that looked like. She talks about and her being raped at 18, 17 or 18. She was working at a shoe store. She was working at Payless, which is like really Payless. There's no more Payless stores in America, mm-hmm. I don't think. But
major throwback there.
Yeah, I mean, like it just brought me back to like me going there as a kid buying shoes, and to think that, you know, there was somebody that was sexually assaulted in this, in a Payless, kind of just was surreal, I think. But yeah, so I loved her book, and it just talks about growing up and what that looks like for her, especially in Hollywood, and being a Black woman in Hollywood and what that looks like. So it was great.
When did you read those books?
Trevor, I read Trevor Noah's book like 2 years ago. And then Gabrielle Union, I think it was a year ago. But I love them.
I was fortunate enough to actually be in the room when Gabrielle Union actually did a live reading of the book. And she signed copies of it as well. Just hearing her story was amazing. So I could only imagine, like, I read the book after the fact, and it was just phenomenal to see, like, her story and, like, hearing the things that, like, are just normal everyday things that we've done in the past. Yeah. But yeah, that was, I hear you on that one. That was a really good book.
And it kind of brought me back to, because every movie she's at least like the mean girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bring It On. I'm trying to think. What are
10 Things I Hate About You.
10 Things I Hate About mm-hmm. You. You reminded me of that one.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest role that I remember her from is Bring It On.
Mm-hmm.
And how mean she was. But to mm-hmm. see her be vulnerable
mm-hmm.
was huge. So.
Yeah.
Talk about fun TikToks.
Talk about fun. Oh, she does have fun TikToks. Mm-hmm. Her and Dwayne Wade mm-hmm. and her mm-hmm. daughter. Her family, yeah.
Those are fun.
Those are great.
So I definitely recommend we're going to need more wine and Born a Crime for sure.
Your book's actually tied a little bit into mine, specifically The Bluest Eye, and talking about beauty within Black culture. And within the book, so The Bluest Eye, Toni Morrison, is my ultimate favorite book. It's the book I recommend to everybody. And it's all the students I've ever recommended it to me. Every single one of them have hated me for giving it to them, but loved me at the end for it. So love y'all. The story that she tells, Toni Morrison, is about this young Black girl named Pecola Breedlove. And she prays every day for beauty. And it's not for her beauty. It's more so for the beauty of American standards. So the entire book, she prays for blue eyes. She prays for blonde hair. She prays for lighter skin. And throughout the book, you can see her mental health deteriorate within it. So the way that she writes it in the book is every time Pecola speaks, it's written very differently from the way that everybody else speaks. So when everybody else speaks, it's very normal text. When Pecola speaks, it's in italicized. It's either bolded or the spacing is all wrong as she kind of goes further into the book. And they talk about the way that others view her in it. So the reason why I love it is because it actually opened up my eyes to adversity in a different way. So I grew up in the Bronx, and the high school that I went to is predominantly Black and brown. So adversity, diversity, inclusion, equity was never really talked about, because it was just one of those things of like, oh, we're all Black and brown. Like, that's it. That was the end of the conversation. But it took my high school teacher to be like, nah, like, when you go into the real world, This is real life. Like, this is actually what happens. This is, you know, the way that others view you guys. And I was like, mind blown, being this high school student, freshman year, actually, just mind blown by reading this book. It's been about 7 or 9 times that I've read this book now. And every time I've read it, I've had a different reaction and a different experience with it, because I have a new education basis behind it. So going from having zero education to where I am now, still learning, obviously, about race, class, and gender, and now starting to really dive into it a little bit deeper in my 30s, it's more of like the background that I didn't really pay attention to when really looking at Toni Morrison's writing. So I definitely think that the standards of beauty, the conversation there, is kind of where our books a little bit connect there. But if y'all really want a difficult read to talk about race, class, and gender, please pick up Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye. It's a 5 out of 5 for me, like, always. And then most recently, actually, I fell in love with the book In the Country We Love by Diane Guerrero. And she talks about the immigration, undocumented immigrants living in the United States. And she talks about her experience with her family dealing with the different things that they went through. When I first read it, I had a slight understanding about undocumented folks in the U.S., but it was never something that I truly understood because, unfortunately, it's something that I've never seen firsthand. Nobody in my family has ever dealt with it, but being Hispanic, I knew that a lot of my friends had gone through it. So looking at the different things that she experienced as being Hispanic, coming into the United States illegally and being sent back and deported and things like that, it was just so hard to read the book, but such a beautiful story, the way that she told it and how she viewed the United States as not the enemy. It was more so she viewed it as like, these people are here to help me and my family and to get out of this, and this is how I have to do it. And but she also gets real and she says, well, it's difficult, and this is how my mental health struggled throughout. And she talks about her abuse of alcohol and then how she went through a period in her life where she just couldn't handle it because she couldn't be with her family because she was here in the States while her family was deported back home. So that was another story. And I read that most recently, maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago now. And it opened my eyes to a different side of the work that I do on a daily, and also realizing that there's a lot of areas and a lot of gaps within the way that we interact with our undocumented folks on campus and how we don't understand that their struggle is so deep and everything is so particular down to the visa for classes, the visa for work, and how they have to navigate so many obstacles just to do what they love. So reading this book definitely opened my eyes, and it was something that I just didn't have any knowledge basis on. So it was refreshing to see it from Diane's eyes and really read into it, because the character she plays, so she's actually a character within The Orange is the New Black and Jane the Virgin, and both characters, she's very hilarious and funny. So bringing in that vulnerability side of it was different in the sense that I didn't realize everything she was going through, especially when she talks about the first time she got her role in Jane the Virgin and how she was in her worst state of mental health. So it's definitely interesting. I would definitely recommend it as well.
Okay, so in Jane the Virgin, who did she play?
She was Jane's best friend.
Yes. And then Orange is the New Black, she was like the pretty girly prisoner, right?
Mm-hmm. She was one of the ones that figured out how to use different resources within prison to create makeup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did not know that was her.
Yeah, it's a great read, and she does a phenomenal job at showing the vulnerability in the things she experienced too.
Never seen either of those shows?
No.
What?
No.
I really loved Orange is the New Black.
I don't like the newest season. The newest season kind of was just like blah.
What, the last one?
Mm-hmm.
They're not gonna do anymore, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I'm gonna take this home and read it.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm excited to read my copy too.
Y'all are gonna be so frustrated. I had one student come in, throw the book at me. And she was like, I am so upset you made me read this book. And I love you so much. Grabs the book and walks out. I was like, you good?
Okay. We'll talk later.
Yeah, she came back like an hour later and she broke down why she was so upset. And it was because she had similar experiences growing up and dealing with her beauty as a Black woman. And she was just like, it was so insane to read my life in a book and know that everything she was experiencing, I experienced. So it was like that
feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll probably cry because I definitely went through those struggles as a kid, especially in elementary school. I used to, when I was at home, like, you know, when I wasn't at school, when we were home, I would put a towel over my head to have straighter hair and just to replicate, you know, straight hair. And I never really realized why, because I didn't really recognize. I knew I was different and I knew I didn't have what they had, but I never recognized that it was an issue, you know, like for me identifying And then I got into like middle school and I would straighten my hair all the time. And my dad would say, Courtney, no, stop. You're damaging your hair. Mm-hmm. But two, most importantly, two, your hair is beautiful. Your curls are beautiful. And so that is one of the reasons why I'm growing my hair out, because I never really realized that I cut my hair, and I've always had short hair since I guess about 16. But one of the reasons why was, now that I reflect on it, was because it was just too much to deal with. And I'd rather just have very short hair than to like embrace who I am and go through those moments of like, okay, now what do you do with your hair? Or now like I have to take care of my hair. I have to wash it. I have to like moisturize it. I have to make sure it's not dry. I'm like, this is a lot of work. And so I didn't really like the process of that. But now I'm starting to embrace that a little more. And with the help of my players, I'm not sure if you guys know Tiana Rosser. You know,
yeah.
Tiana? She's like, oh, that's going to be so cute. Like, just keep growing it. And I like text her all the time, like, hey, like, what do I need for my hair? Because it's important. So my hair is important now to me, and I want to embrace my hair and embrace my curls a lot more now. So I'm growing it out.
Sam, you said something a bit ago about the student walking up to you and saying, this was me in a book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I felt in some of my favorite books by Asians about Asians. That's great to read it on a page in a book, mm-hmm. because that's me. And I've never read that before. I'm scrolling through Goodreads trying to figure out what book that was for me. Because, it was Fresh Off the Boat. It was Fresh Off the Boat by Eddie Wong, who is an alum of Rollins College.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Grew up in Orlando area, went to Olympia High School, right?
Mm-hmm. I read this for, I had done a Find It, Read It, Leave It book club at Rollins. And this was one of the books that we bought and left them around campus. And that was the first time that I believed that I had read a semi-autobiography about an Asian man.
Mm.
And I was like, that's me.
Yeah.
I had those experiences growing up in Orlando. Well, I don't think he grew up in Orlando, but that was the first time. And that was a phenomenal book.
And now it was a series.
Mm-hmm.
I need to read this.
TV series. Huh. But comedy.
Comedy.
Mm.
I can't talk.
And his other book, I think, was good, but that feeling has resonated with me in some of my favorite books.
It's funny because those are actually the hardest books for me to read, and I never finish. Any book that's about, like, I can see myself in the book, I'm like, we're just going to put that one right over there. I'll come back to you, and I never do.
What are you people's other favorite books besides the two that we brought?
I like Michelle Obama's Becoming, for sure.
I haven't read it.
I audiobooked it.
Mm-hmm, I audiobooked it.
Would you recommend audiobooking it?
Yes. All it's right. long. It's big. It's All right. thick.
thick.
It's thick. Yes, I recommend it. Her voice, too, is like something like the voice of an author. But I also like her voice because it's always so nice and light and truthful.
I wish my voice was nice and light. Light.
But, but when she speaks, like, she's just like a powerful person, you know, mm-hmm. or impactful. So I liked it. What about you? Eat a peach. When I think of peach, I think of James and the Giant Peach.
I love that story. That's one of my favorite stories, actually, like children's books.
I was slightly disturbed as a child reading
that.
That
movie was terrifying.
Oh, my gosh.
That movie was so weirdly animated. I don't know why everybody had to look like that with the little bit sunken eyes.
Yeah.
It was and, my favorite. It's so perfect.
And every day that, you know, in elementary school or middle school where teachers didn't feel like teaching, that's what they would put on those big roller carts.
Oh, my gosh. Terrifying. Remember the roller carts? Those were the best days.
Still exist.
Not the big fat TVs.
The roller carts existed. But Eat a Peach, David Chang, Momofuku. It's a restaurant brand in New York and California.
Okay.
There used to be a Netflix show called Mind of a Chef with Anthony Bourdain. He is a famous, I guess you could say, a famous chef with a big deal of a restaurant brand. The Milk Bar came out of it. It's a dessert company, a cake company that you can order.
I think I've heard of it.
Delightful pies, cakes, donut holes, cake holes. Anyways, it's a little bit about mental health.
Okay.
It's a little bit about being Asian. It's a little bit about being an Asian chef in an environment where Asian chefs there are less of. And I loved his food. I've loved his shows on Netflix. So it was great to read a book where he kept saying, this isn't about me. This isn't about me. This isn't about me. But it really turned out to be all about me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his struggles, his successes, how he's handled tough things. But that person looked like me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's the other book that I almost brought. Samantha?
So everything Toni Morrison. So Sula and Beloved are also two other books that I absolutely love. So those were other two books that I was struggling between. And then All the Missing Girls.
That's one of our books.
Is it?
Or
maybe?
Maybe not.
I don't remember. All the Missing Girls by Megan Miranda was phenomenal just because of the way that it was written. Again, similar to Toni Morrison in the sense it's like more artistically written, and the way that each character is separated through different types of text was nice. And then I recently read Little Fires Everywhere because I had I had to do it before the series. I had to do it before I watched the series.
Yeah, that was the book.
Yes.
And I think the series was better than the book.
Correct.
That doesn't happen usually. Mm-mm. And I'm glad they didn't make it a movie because it lasted like 8 hours.
Right.
Or 9 hours or 10 episodes, whatever it was. But that, so Kerry Washington did her thing.
She killed it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was so good.
And it's, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a struggle to watch Reese Witherspoon be in that.
Yeah. You can tell she struggled with it too in certain settings.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that book was good, but the series is definitely better.
That's one of our topics later.
What?
Books to TV shows or movies.
Yeah.
Mm. At the end.
I really liked it. You should just watch. You don't have to read the book.
The book. Oh, I don't remember the book.
Wait, what?
I read the book. Just like how? Most other books that I read it and then I forget everything that happened.
Really?
I started the show, but then I was like, I want to read the book. I need to remember the book.
I loved it.
They are a little bit disconnected.
Yeah.
So you can read the series. You can watch the series without it fully connecting to the book.
Great. Because I could tell you zero about the book that I read.
I mean, they both did. Reese Witherspoon did a great job, and so did Kerry Washington.
Between the World and Me was also a really good book. Also super heavy.
Yeah.
It took me like 3 months to read.
Did I audiobook that?
You did.
See, I'm glad she remembers how I read a book.
I only remember because I mentioned it once and then you said, I audiobooked that. And Educated was also really good.
Oh.
What's on my list?
It's on my, did I read it halfway? I haven't finished it.
I didn't start it.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't start it.
Yeah, I audiobooked that one.
Oh, maybe I have it on audiobook. That's probably what it is, that I didn't finish it. But you guys are really going to like Survival of the Thickest.
I'm so hyped for this.
It's hilarious, y'all.
So next month, you're going to read Survival of the Thickest by?
Michelle Butois.
So just like last time, we are going to choose an emoji that we feel is representative of the books that we talked about today. Y'all can't see us, but we're actively scrolling through our emojis on our phones right now. I will go first. For interior Chinatown, I would probably choose the camera, the film emoji. And for Killers of the Flower Moon, I would probably choose something generic, like the police car going somewhere, because of the part of the story that it discusses how the FBI was formed. Ratings, 5 out of 5 for both of them. 5 stars. Which I genuinely say this, that it's rare that I rate a book with 5 stars because I feel like I'm such a tough critic. My go-to star rating is 4 in Goodreads every time. Kimchi Reads, if anybody wants to find me.
That was definitely a little plug there.
Yeah. But 5 stars, I would recommend both books and have. Who wants to go next?
I can go next. All right, so the two emojis I would use for In the Country We Love would likely be the Colombia flag and the Puerto Rican flag together, and have it be a sign of allyship as a resource for immigrants. We already know 5 out of 5 or 5 stars for both, the Bluest Eye and In the Country We Love. For the Toni Morrison book, I would probably do the megaphone. And the reason why I say the megaphone is because she's so subtle in the book, but the themes are so loud. So definitely the megaphone for the Bluest Eye.
Courtney?
Okay, well, you know, this is a struggle for me. Well, obviously, we're going to need more wine. I feel like a wine glass.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
That was easy, but... but for Born a Crime by Trevor Noah. So initially I was like, oh, the family emojis. But if there was one thing I could change of those emojis, it would be the colors of the family members. But I know my dancing girl on here is, it looks like me. But yeah, so initially that was my thought. But then I guess like going with being born a crime, I don't know if there is a police car, but maybe both with a purple heart.
Gotta have a purple heart.
Because that's the only emoji that I use.
Star rating, did you say that?
I'd give both a 5 out of 5.
Yes.
And I am... not a tough critic, but I am one of those that's like, oh my God, I'm so obsessed with this book. It's great. Everybody should read it. Because once I like something, I like it. I don't like it. I don't just like it. I love it. So
great.
Love it. Until next time.
Dun, dun, dun. Let's Get Literary is co-hosted by Sam Vega, Jen Atwell, and Courtney Berry at Rollins College. Each month, you'll find a new episode on a book we've chosen for many of the Cultural Heritage Months. On occasion, we might choose a special and meaningful book to us to discuss. We'll chat about books and give you a sneak peek into what we'll be discussing next. Have a love for books and want to be a guest host or suggest a book for discussion? Email us at cici@rollins.edu. cici@rollins.edu.